Ladies and gentlemen, we are now boarding Group A. Please have your boarding passes ready to scan. If your phone is cracked, old, or was chewed up by your Chihuahua travel companion, please refrain from holding up the line. And instead, simply go to Verizon and trade in any phone in any condition from one of their top brands for the new Samsung Galaxy S25 Plus with Galaxy AI on Unlimited Ultimate and a watch or tab, also on them.
Service plan required for watch or tab. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I am so excited to announce our new platform launch, the49ersrush.com. We've been active on Patreon for years, and we're still going to keep that community going, but the49ersrush.com has everything Patreon offers and a bunch more. You want to watch player breakdowns? Guess what? You click that. It's filtered based on players. You want to see Javon Hargrave, what he brings, some CMC tape broken down, Ayuk, Jair Brown. We've got hundreds and hundreds of tapes on. Now, you want football 101. You want to learn scheme? Guess what? We've got every single offensive, defensive, special team snap. Head over to the49ersrush.com, sign up, join the community, and plus we got a 7-day free trial. So
time for the 49ers Rush Podcast. And here's your host, John Chapman.
What is going on, faithful? It is great to be with you guys today. And this is exciting for several reasons. One, Senior Bowl's in full swing. We had the first day of practice, the official measurements. All those are in. I'm going to talk to you about mostly the offensive tackles. I think that was probably the most to take away from the measurements. And then practice, man, there's one. There is one already major standout during 101s and all that stuff that I think 100% impacts the 49ers and their draft plans. We're going to talk about that. It's not offensive tackle, so we'll stay tuned for that. And I do want to say this is episode 1322 of the 49ers Rush Podcast. Excited about this one. I love Senior Bowl. I love practice. It's funny. When people whenever I talk to people, they're like, oh, I used to coach and whatever else. They're like, oh, do you miss the lights? Do you miss the games? And I'm like, man, I miss practice. practice? We talk about practice? Yes, it was my favorite. And, man, if I had it my way, not that I didn't enjoy the games, but, I don't think I could ever go back and, got offered a job coaching earlier this week. And it's made my hamster wheel start spinning upstairs. And I'm like, man, would I do miss coach. I miss certain parts of it. But I was like, man, I just would want to come out in the spring when it's not football season. I'm not working, insane hours covering the Niners and traveling all over. I would want to go out in spring football and just be like a consultant and just try to help and, just jump in wherever I can, help out in the weight room, help out, in drills and speed and shit. I miss that. I miss the development and the relationship and the grind of practice to develop talent. And I think that's what we're getting to see now with the Senior Bowl. So I think that is exciting. And I have to say, shout out. The 49ers are good hands. It is. They got nothing to do with me. We have not one, not two, not three, but four just all-stars. And maybe there's more there. I don't know. But Wayne Breezy's out there. Steph, she's out there. Johnny Dell's out there. Brad Graham. Come on, man. The 49ers, you fans, I don't know. I hope y'all understand how spoiled you are. I know I'm spoiled. One, just because I've been able to meet all four of those amazing human beings that just do such a good job. Gosh, we're lucky. And, Steph, she was one of the first ones to put out there, you know, John Lynch on the sideline. So if it matters to our content creators and my friends, I consider them all friends. And if it matters to our GM and it matters to our coaches, KJ Wright's out there coaching. He's going to be defensive coordinator in 2027. You heard it here first. You probably heard it somewhere else first. But I think that's going to happen. Yeah, I think he's the future defensive coordinator of the 49ers. I believe that's going to happen. I think it should matter to us. I really, really do. And I appreciate everybody that's here with us. What's up? Ooh, we even got the Longhorns. That's what's up. All the hashtag CCs. What is going on? What's up, Mike? Hey, Josh. Appreciate y'all. Bang, bang, Niner King, Pineapple. I'm with you. Kevin, just came back from break. Now I have to listen quietly. Thanks, John. Sorry, I missed it. It's off today. And, you know, usually Tuesday's the John and Wayne show, but Wayne's at the Senior Bowl, and I've got construction here at the house. And so I carved out a small window and we'll probably hear a little bit of noise, but not too bad today. The hammers and destruction phase is done. So, like, I couldn't have a set show until they had a little bit of a break. So I that's why there's no John and Wayne show. Check out whenever Wayne does go live, because he is the best of the best. And I just couldn't schedule this appropriately, so I didn't want to waste his time because he's working. What's up, Lori? How we doing? How we doing? Oscar, man, it's good seeing Oscar and Joe back in the chat. I love it. I love it. I love it. Logan, I was about to say that the prospect you're talking about isn't a left tackle. It is not. He plays some left tackle. He's an old lineman. We're going to get there. We're going to get there. Right here, any feedback? I didn't know Aponte was there. If he is there, that's awesome. That dude's a hard worker, man. Good dude. Good dude. Right here, Oscar, got to address the defensive tackle and draft Graham. If you want to draft Macy Graham, got to trade up. It all starts on the inside. Moving up for Mike Green would be a dream. Also, I don't think you have to move up for Mike Green. He might be the first. No, he's not going to be the first edge. That's Abdul Carter. Might be the second or third edge off the board. I would not be upset with either of those players at all. David Gill, one of the executive producers of the show. I love David. He's the best. 49ers George 365 and Corey Robbins are executive producers for today's show. And he says, 49ers content creators doing the work of the people. Absolutely love it. Love it. Love it. Love it. Gasp, is it a center? It might be. It might be. Get Nick. Trade back some. Yeah, Nick Scorton. That dude, he's a baller. He's a baller. Now, I do have to talk about this. And, you know, Senior Bowl is what this show's about. How do I be nice? Whenever I saw the news, I was like, no, they didn't. There's no way this is real. But alas, it was real. It was not from a fake Adam Schefter account or Ian Rappaport account. The Dallas Cowboys have hired, made it official, none other than Pet Rock, Nick Sorensen, as their special teams coordinator. God, you got to love them. It's just incredible. I cannot believe they went with Brian Schottenheimer, somebody that nobody wanted as an OC. They went as their head coach. And then, again, somebody that didn't get one interview, they hired him as special teams coordinator. Now, having said this, I am very thankful that Nick Sorensen is no longer on our coaching staff. Do I think that he's going to be as bad as Brian Schneider was with us? No, I do not. But going from Jim Bones Fossil as your special teams coordinator to Nick Sorensen, whew, I love the Cowboys, man. They just will never... They just never cease to amaze. All they do is just crack me up. Gosh, man. Incredible. I love it. And not that I want any bad things to happen to it. That's not what it is. But damn, it's funny. It is hilarious. And I'm thankful he is no longer on our staff. That is factual. Hope great things happen to him. Oh, man. Love it. Oscar. Oscar's the man. Appreciate the super chat. He says, can we all reach out to Jason Hurley? Not a good place. If you don't know Jason Hurley, he's an amazing man. 49erscap.com. Dude knows more about the cap than almost anybody in the business, and he just focuses on Niners. Amazing heart, amazing human being. Yeah, prayers for fellow human, and yeah, just reach out to him. 49erscap.com, great guy. He's been on the show before. Dude's awesome, and just nothing but the best for him. I hope everything goes all right with him, and yeah, I'll reach out. Thank you, Oscar. That's important. I haven't seen what you're referencing. I don't scroll Twitter too much in days anymore, but I need to get back on there. I'm on Twitter all the time, but I don't scroll, if that makes sense. So I kind of get caught up in my own whatever I'm working on, which is a negative. But right here, Icon. No size concerns for Green? Yeah, I do. 6'3", but he added a lot of weight. He came in at 250. And so I think that's pretty awesome. I'm scrolling to get the officials, because I was pretty impressed with what he came in at. Here it is right here. 251, 6'3", though, and he's like 6'3", barely. 250. That's huge. So he was able to add the weight, because a lot his metrics were like 6'4", 220, 230 at Marshall, which you can get away with. But the fact that he added size, I think he raved reviews of the one-on-ones and the clips I saw. It seems like the bend, the burst is there. He's not ideal. You want that 6'4", 260. That's what you want. So he's a little shorter, a little lighter. But is he an option at 11? Yes. Do you trade up for that? No. And in a poor top-end edge class, I think there are going to be some teams, especially 3-4 teams, I think they are like, oh, that's perfect. That's exactly what we want. Mild size concerns, but the fact that he could add weight, keep the bend, keep the burst, keep the first step, that's huge. That is gigantic. 805, 49ers Rush Podcast, always fire. Appreciate you, man. Dude, that's what's up. 805. Probably my favorite beer I've ever had, and I might be in a minority in this. 805 Cerveza. I love Mexican lagers, and my favorite. 805 Cerveza. That is my, dude, whenever I lived in Southern California, that was my jam. But not anymore. Not anymore. Kevin, laughing at my Dallas. I've reached out to all my Cowboys friends. I have two, and all of them are just like, what are they doing? But, you know, whenever things are this bad, right, Schottenheimer, they got Eberflus officially just a couple minutes ago. I thought that was a good hire. But, yeah, when your head coach and special teams coordinator are both guys that nobody wanted as coordinators or whatever, right here, 805, like beer is my favorite. There we go. Love it. Yeah, with the line, there it is, man. See, he knows what's up. He knows what's up. This is another guy at the Senior Bowl that I thought, I love his tape. He's got some character issues. You go watch the tape where he goes after like fans after a game and stuff. You know, I don't know what that's going to be. And I constantly have to remind everybody, Princely Umanmielen, one of my favorite players tape-wise, we're not going to be there in those interviews with character concerns and all that. The Niners have stayed away from all character concerns early on in the draft ever since Reuben Foster. They haven't touched anybody with any type of character concerns whatsoever. Joe Williams and Reuben Foster completely said, we ain't touching these cats no more at all. Don't matter how good the tape is. Doesn't matter. If they got character issues, we are not spending top-tier draft capital on them. Does Princely Umanmielen fall into that category? I don't know. That's something that's got to be discussed. In my opinion, I think he's going to be one of the guys that is the most interviewed and has the most official 30 interviews with teams, because people got to figure that out. Now, he came in 6'4", 264, just had 10 and a half sacks in the SEC with 14 tackles for loss. Like, he's what I want. Like, if I could have the second round pick of my dreams, it would be Princely Umanmielen. But the character issues, I don't know. There are several teams that don't care, like the Chiefs. They do not care. And so Cowboys do not care. Several teams do not care. Patriots, even with before Vrabel has not cared. You go back to his days at Tennessee, doesn't care about character. Just not important to him. Belichick, not important to him. Those guys just don't care about that. They'll get the most out of them. That's all they care about. Can you play football? Don't care what you do outside of that. Who cares? And so, obviously, the Browns, there's several teams that just don't care, but other teams that do and say, man, we don't want to miss out on a player and spend that draft capital and have this guy miss out because of non-football reasons. I don't know what that interview is going to look like, but I wouldn't be shocked if the 49ers meet with them, because that 43 spot for Princely Umanmielen, where the Niners pick in the second round, that's a perfect landing spot, to be honest with you. Like, that is right where he should be going. But yeah, we'll have to see kind of how that comes out and what that looks like. But we're not going to know until after the draft. We're not going to know until after the draft. So, we'll see. We'll see.
The big game is almost here, and it's now or never. Don't miss out on the last football game of the season with Prize Picks, the best place to win cash while watching the big game. Prize Picks is also giving away a free pick for the big game, where one of the starting quarterbacks will only need to throw for 1 yard. That's right, one passing yard to win half of the bet. If you're correct on the other stat projection, which you have to make at least one more, you can win real cash. Also, check out the promos tab or tell any of our super sweet Millie winners for the big game lineups. If you tell a lineup that goes 3 for 3, you can win your split of $1 million in promo funds. PrizePick now also offers MasterCard for quick and easy deposits into your account this sports season. So sign up today and get $50 instantly when you play $5. You don't even need to win to receive the $50 bonus. It's guaranteed. And I've been playing PrizePicks for years. I just like how quick and easy it is. You pick two. If they happen, you win. It's very, very simple. So download the app today. Use code 49ers, that's 49ERS, to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup. Again, download the app today. Use code 49ers to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks, run your game. Did you know last year, save more money was the most popular New Year's resolution in America? Clearly, a lot of us feel like our money is slipping through our fingers. But it's not your fault. The whole world is trying to spend your money. There's streaming apps, delivery fees, tips on self-checkout machines. The list goes on and on. Good thing there's Acorns. Acorns helps grow your money into more of your money. Imagine if you started saving a year ago, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, how you would feel if you started investing what you already have. Well, with Acorns, it makes it easy to start automatically saving and investing so your money has a chance to grow for you, your kids, or your retirement. You don't need to be an expert. Acorns will recommend a diversified portfolio that fits you and your money goals. You don't need to be rich either. Acorns lets you invest with spare money you've got right now. You can start with $5 or even just your personal spare change. So head to acorns.com/49ers or download the Acorns app to start saving and investing for your future today. That's acorns.com/49ERS. Paid client endorsement. Compensation provides incentive to positively promote Acorns. Tier 1 compensation provided. Investing involves risk. Acorns Advisors, LLC, and SEC registered investment advisor. View important disclosures at acorns.com/49ers.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are now boarding Group A. Please have your boarding passes ready to scan. If your phone is cracked, old, or was chewed up by your Chihuahua travel companion, please refrain from holding up the line. And instead, simply go to Verizon and trade in any phone in any condition from one of their top brands for the new Samsung Galaxy S25 Plus with Galaxy AI on Unlimited Ultimate and Watch or Tap, also on them.
Service plan required for Watch or Tap. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Now, let's get into the offensive tackle measurements. This is always one of the big ones. Now, they're going to redo the official measurements at the combine, but these are official. These are actually done correctly because up until this point, we've only had the media guides that the teams go on, and teams inflate and deflate and whatever. My favorite thing in the Nick Saban regime was 1 year, I think they had 14 players drafted. All 14 players were 2 inches or less shorter than what they were listed at. All 14 were a full 2 inches. So, like, certain teams inflate their height, weight, speed stuff. Senior Bowl ain't going to do that. So, for offensive tackles, which I think is a need for the 49ers, right tackle and long-term left tackle, I think both are needs. But arm length is a big deal. Now, understand this. Colt McKivitz has 33.5-inch arms under the 34-inch threshold that all teams covet. The Niners don't care as much about it as other teams do. Period. Period, period, period. They do not as much as other teams do. Some teams, threshold teams like the Colts, it is all that matters. Cowboys, all that matters. 49ers, not so much. That's just what it is. So let's go through these offensive tackles arm lengths. 34 is kind of the common. If you hit that threshold, teams will say, okay, check. The arm length says he can play left tackle, right tackle for us. Armand Membu, who has been rising up the draft charts and everybody's mock drafting him to the 49ers over and over and over again. I just did a film breakdown of him over on the 49ersrush.com. If you haven't headed over there yet, you need to, because we have our Jerry Rice tier Zoom hangout meeting tonight at 5:30. So you want to talk draft, you want to talk coaching staff, you want to talk scheme, you want to talk free agency, that's tonight, 5:30 p.m. Pacific time. And again, if you haven't joined over there yet, go do it. We got 7-day free trial, so you can join, come to the Zoom hangout meeting, watch tape, and cancel in 6 days, and you'll never even be charged. I ain't going to be mad at you. Ain't going to be mad at you. Armand Membu, 34-inch official arms. Now, it was kind of crazy because you have a lot of, you know, CBS, 33rd team, NBC, all these sports writers, Sports Illustrated, and they're tweeting out like, oh, 33-inch arms, 33.5, 33.8. Like, it was just like, what is happening? The official Senior Bowl came out at 34 inches flat, which, again, right at that threshold. So for the 49ers, Armand Membu, I think 100% out of Missouri, right tackle candidate. Is he a left tackle guy? Man, his footwork says yes. The lack of length, he's a 6'3 guy. Maybe not as much. Might be a true right tackle, right guard, left guard type player. But I think he'd be a right tackle in the NFL. I love him, and I think he continues to rise up. He's kind of in that sweet spot where the 49ers are picking. Daniel Jeremiah, I think, had him at his 17th player. I want to make sure I get that correct. Yeah, 17th ranked player. That's not a reach for the 49ers there. Ideally, you'd like to trade back a little bit, but I say this all the time. Offensive tackles, edge players, quarterbacks always get pushed up. So even though he might be the 17th best player in this draft, picking him at 11, not necessarily a reach. He's not my favorite to go to at 11, but the odds on betting favorites, Membu coming in with 34-inch arms is huge. Phil, what's up, man? Appreciate the super chat. He says, when are we going to get details on Saleh's contract? Never, unless Robert Saleh or the 49ers release those. Because the coaching personal contracts have nothing to do with the NFLPA. They have nothing to do with salary cap implications. Don't affect it at all. So they don't ever have to release those. So the only way we'll find those out is if Kyle, Saleh, or Jed York releases them. And I don't think we're going to find out any details. I do think he'll be amongst the highest paid. But again, that's not always public information. So I doubt we hear anything about it moving forward, which kind of stinks. But that's the way it goes. But I can guarantee you this. He got paid. He got paid. He got paid. He got paid. Joe, why is arm length such a big deal? Arm length is such a big deal because the length mitigates the speed off the edge. So if you're going to be a true left tackle, you have to be able to stop. You have to have the anchor ability to stop a bull rush, and you have to have the length to mitigate and stop a speed edge rusher. Those are the two things. So the weight, the anchor, the length, that's why it's just so important, because you can extend your arms and stop those edge rushers, those speed edge bend guys like Mike Green, like Princely Umadmielen, like Abdul Carter. And again, you go back and you look at some of these guys and how they played against some of those edge rushers. That is why it's so valuable. That's why it's so valuable. So the arm length is, if you don't have that 34-inch threshold and that length, a lot of teams will say you got to play inside because you can't stop the speed edge guy. That's what it is. And right here, Tyler, measurables were better than I thought. You're talking about your man, your Oregon guy, Josh Connerly. Yeah, he's number two on my list. 34-inch arms. Good measurables. I thought that was a positive for him. So Josh Connerly, thumbs up. And again, somebody asked me like, okay, I forgot who it was. I think we were talking to Twitter, so I apologize if I'm not going to give him credit here. He says, like, how do you determine a first versus second round grade? How do you determine a top 10 guy? What's your thing? Now, my scouting criteria is derived from Bill Walsh's work that he did after he was a coach, where he went back and wrote his draft evaluation for each position and how he – so it all starts from there. That's the way – now, I've done this for – this would be my ninth year doing draft work. So it's adapted and elevated. But typically, my first-round grade, okay, my understanding, my – whenever I say this person is a first-round player, what I mean is I expect this person to be a first-team or second-team all-pro within their rookie year by the end of the rookie deal. So in the first 4 to 5 years, I expect this player to have the traits, production, and height, weight, speed, all that stuff that matters. Now, that's less important for me. Film is everything. But will they have the production to be qualified as a first or second team all-pro type player at their position? That's a first-round grade to me. Now, I have a bifurcation for top 10. Top 10, that means, man, this dude could step up and be an all-pro type player year one, year two, and could compete to be the best player at their position. They have those traits. They have those skills. And it's different for everything else because you also have to put in the implication. You'd be a first-round guard, Tyler Booker, who's great, and I do have a first-round grade on him. I think the safest player in this draft. But you don't take a guard top 10. And you go back and you look at Quentin Nelson. Well, Quentin Nelson was the best at his position year one. So that vaults a non-premium position up. Quarterbacks, tackles, and edge players always get pushed up. Running backs and all those guys get pushed down. So you talk about Ashton Gentry. Can he be the best running back in the NFL right off the bat? I don't think he can be. Is he worthy of a top 10 talent? Yes, he is. But not at that position for me. So is he a first-round draft grade? Oh, yeah, with ease. Is he a top 10 pick for me? He is not. He's not. Why? I don't see him doing what Saquon Barkley did. I don't see him doing what Derrick Henry did. And I don't see him doing what CMC did last year. That's not even an all-pro player for me. Now, if a team takes him in the top 10, are they wrong? Not necessarily. Not necessarily. He has the skills to be an all-pro player. 100%. That is a first-round grade. Do I see that happening this year or next year? I don't. So I'm having trouble, and again, I haven't sorted out. I'm still working through tape and, you know, traits and snap counts and all this. Blah, blah, blah. It's so much, man. Which we did just share, and again, if you want to jump into the Senior Bowl and all that stuff, the 49ersRush.com and our Patreon, we just shared our draft spreadsheet. Compliments to the great Ben S. He is the best, man. NY Niners. Love you, bro. Go check that out. It's got all the height, weight, speed, and all that stuff. Now, it's scouting combine and all that stuff, so they're not official, but you want to look at snap counts and where they play and PFF grades and height, weight, and all that stuff, that is there for you, and that factors into the equation. Now, back to my idea of, okay, what are these combine, senior day, whatever, how does that articulate into my draft grades or anybody's draft grades? You don't move players up because of their measurables. You don't do that. The film sets where they are. Now, you can move players down. And yeah, a guy like Wyatt Millam, West Virginia offensive tackle. Tape is great. You watch him play against some elite guys, he shuts them down. He's good against several players. Elite first-round guys. Abdul Carter, dude played well against him, right? Stud. But he comes out and measures 32 and 5/8 arms. Can't play tackle. Not even for the 49ers. The 49ers, Colton McKivitt's 33-5, a full inch shorter than the shortest offensive tackle's arms in the NFL. Now he's a guard only. Guard only, and if a couple injuries happen, you got to kick him out to tackle like the 49ers did this year. Maybe. But like, so you don't move a player up, like Armand Mimbu. You don't move him up from, if you have a first round grade on him as a tackle, you don't move him into the top 10 because he hit 34, but you don't move him down. It's a checklist. This is where he was appropriately ranked because he meets the thresholds and the metrics pass the test, right? Along with all of the other tackles in the NFL. You know, I have several bookmarks that I have open during draft season. Mockdraftable.com will not be closed on my on my laptop for the next 4 months. It's going to be open the whole time. It's one of my favorite websites. Draft Tech, their draft pick trading chart, open the whole time. Over the cap, salary caps, and all that stuff, open the whole time. Pro Football Reference, I've got three tabs open currently. One, two, yeah, I've got three tabs of Pro Football. College Sports Reference, open. Like, there's certain just websites that are open all the time, but now it's mock draftable time, baby, and I freaking love it. One of the best sites ever, and I wish I could give them money because they are freaking incredible, and they do great things. So these metrics are important because they check off and they validate what you've seen on film. Never move a player up because of metrics. Never. Don't do that. Like, I don't believe in doing that. I'm sure some people do. But what it does do is it validates if you saw a player as a first round, second round, third round, whatever, and they meet those thresholds, 40-yard dash, height for different positions. 40-yard dash doesn't matter for all of them, but for corners, for safeties, for wide receivers, it sure as hell does. Sure as hell does. For linebackers, it does. In today's NFL, it does. Not necessarily for guards and whatever else, and I know it's always fun to see big men run fast 40-yard dashes. That's not going to move players up in my rankings at all. It's not. If I have a player that I have in my notes, pulls and blocks very well at open space, great in the screen game, and then they run a 4.940 at 320 pounds, that doesn't move a player up. That validates that, man, this is a great player in space. The metrics prove that. Now, you get somebody like an Orlando Brown, who I had kind of, I was a fringe round one, round two on out of Oklahoma, had one of the worst testing combines in the history of the NFL. I mean, just abysmal. And it was like, man, you got to dock him for that. He ain't got no work ethic, showed in out of shape. It never even practiced a 40-yard dash, but then he goes out and balls out. And it just played on one-year deals over and over. He's a mercenary and equivalent to Jadeveon Clowney, basically, on the offensive line. So there's anomalies to both. And I know I'm kind of rambling here, but I love this stuff. I absolutely love this. This is where I got started. The draft is, oh, I freaking love it, man. Absolutely love it. Now, let's talk about a couple other offensive tackles. Jonah Savainau. There we go. Savainau. There we go. I'm getting it. I got the pronunciation. This is going to take some time. Offensive tackle out of Arizona. A lot of people see him as a guard. A lot of people, the tape says guard. Tape says probably a guard. Now, the arm length comes out 34 5/8. Might be able to play some tackle. Probably not left tackle. Probably a right tackle. But I thought that not that you move him up, but he ain't moving down. And so whenever the measurables call into question, something that you already have, like everybody's saying, guard, 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 guard. And I think that he probably is a guard because of his footwork. But man, 34 5/8 in arms, and he played predominantly tackle. Let me pull up his snaps. It's like, man, okay. Like, yeah, 5 starts at left tackle, 16 starts at right tackle, 15 starts at right guard. He's played all over the place. I think guard right tackle is probably where he should go. I don't like him at left tackle. I don't think he has the athleticism there. But, all right. You see what I'm saying? Like, this is the type of conversation you have with film / metrics. And once you get those both kind of harmonized together, then it's like, that's what this player is. That's what we grade these players at. That's what that looks like. Marcus Bow, it's spelled Mbo, M-B-O-W out of Purdue, but the M is silent, so it's Marcus Bow. 33-inch arms. That dude's a guard. Ozzie Trapillo, Boston College, 33 4/8. Not great. just not great. Like, his thing was, he's basically right at Colton McKivitt's level. So I would say probably 25 teams in the NFL were saying, nope, guard only. Those zone teams are like, could play tackle in a pinch based on that, right? So could be a right tackle, could be a guard, not going to be a left tackle. Emory Jones Jr., 34-6'8", that's a tackle. Ariante Irisarry, out of Minnesota, 34-inch arms. He can play tackle. Some teams still will see him as a guard. And Anthony Belton, who talked about him with Larry a couple episodes ago out of NC State, 34 5/8-inch arms. That dude's a left tackle. His nickname is Escalade. Big, move smooth, definition left tackle, third, fourth round pick. If you don't go tackle early, I would love to get Anthony Belton. And I love that measurement for him. Wyatt Millham, like I said, 32 5/8. Nope. Carson Vinson, Alabama A&M, 35 1/8-inch arms. Whoo! Length on length. He is a project left tackle. Probably couldn't play interior if you wanted him to. Like, that dude is a tackle or bust. Kind of like, that's just what it is. So, yeah, fun stuff, man. Fun stuff. Right here. Oscar, if Fangio is getting $4.5 million, wouldn't be surprised if Sala got 4 years, $20 million, $5 million a year. That makes sense. And, you know, Fangio came off kind of a bad year at Miami, where just didn't go right. Saul is coming off of a bad head coaching experience like Fangio. But yeah, I think those numbers sound right. I hope he gets it all. I want everybody to get it. It's just Jed York's money. It ain't mine. Cash that check. Let's go, Jed. Let's go. What's up, NY Niners? We need to get our offensive tackle now because we won't be able to be picking. We'll be at 32 for the next 5 years. That's right. We're going to be at the back end of the draft. And so that's one of my concerns. If you do go with Armand Membu, you know, who has 34-inch arms out of Missouri, is I think he's a right tackle. His footwork says left tackle, but I just think right tackle is where he is. We have to get a left tackle at some point. Trent's fully expected back this year at left tackle, but what about next year? What about 2 years from now? You're finally picking high. If you're taking an O-lineman, which I'm not saying we are, you got to get somebody who can play left tackle. And that's why I love Kelvin Banks Jr. That's why I like Will Campbell. Because those guys are left tackles. I think Kelvin Banks is the truest left tackle out of those because of his athleticism. I would much rather have a player that can play left and right tackle than get a guy that's just a right tackle. You know what I mean? We need that versatility, and you're going to hear John Lynch say it 20 times in the post-draft press conference. You know, versatility, we just really thought the character and the versatility is just so versatile. Yeah, like, you know that we're going to hear that. So that's why I like Kelvin Banks more than a lot of the other players at that level. Matt, appreciate the super chat. Thought experiment from Faithful. Nick Sirianni is a better coach than Kyle Chandler. Yeah, that's wrong. He doesn't even call plays. He ain't got nothing. He's just a CEO. He brings nothing to the table, but no, man. Hey, I don't know where that started. I don't get that. Yeah, two NFC championship appearances in 3 years. That's impressive. Kyle's done more. Super Bowl appearance, I get that. Kyle's done the same thing. I get that. Nick Sirianni almost got fired last year, and they made him, like, he didn't even get to choose the guys that were coming in as the offensive defensive. He didn't choose those guys. And he has to have a bouncer on the... Nah, man. But that's okay. I like the conversation, and we could disagree, and that's okay. If you put Nick Sirianni and Kyle Shanahan, and you gave all 32 teams their choice for head coach, it would be 32-0. It would be 32-0. Lori would choose, the Eagles CEO, whatever, he would choose Kyle Shanahan. 32-0. 32-0. It wouldn't even be close. I truly do believe that. I do believe that. Now, as we are going into the Senior Bowl and the Super Bowl and all the prop bets that are coming, if you're going to bet anywhere, you know where you got to go.
It's win or go home for the NFL playoffs. And all roads lead to New Orleans. But here's the thing. Your chance to get in on every high-stakes moment along the way starts with MyBookie.
MyBookie is the ultimate destination for bettors who want more. Whether you're backing the underdogs, riding with the favorites, every drive, every touchdown, every moment is an opportunity to win big. And you can kick off 2025 right. They have risk-free Thursdays. That's where you place a bet. And if it doesn't hit, MyBookie has your back. Dive into the Bet Boost tab to supercharge your picks and build that bankroll before the Super Bowl. And even when the games are over, the action doesn't stop with MyBookie's online casino. Blackjack, Baccarat, Roulette, Slots, it's all there, whether you're celebrating a big win or you're gearing up for the next round. And if you haven't joined yet, use promo code 49ERS, 49ers, on your first deposit. MyBookie will hook you up with an instant bonus because you deserve to start strong. Season isn't just about watching history unfold. It's about being part of it. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere, and I mean anywhere, with MyBookie. All right. Now, I like this right here. Shout out to my man, Flynn West. Great dude. Trent Williams has 34 1/4-inch arms, for those of you that are wondering. Now, Trent is probably the most athletic. He has the length, the size. I remember one time I was staying at the Santa Clara Marriott, and I'm walking up to my room. I park real far away in the cheap parking lot or whatever, and I'm walking to the front of the hotel entrance, and this badass, like, Escalade Bentley, whatever, I don't know what it was, but pulls up. And Trent gets out right in front of me. I've met Trent a few times, but, like, you stand next to that man and you realize you are a small human being. I'm not a small guy. I'm not tall, but, like, I don't think anybody's ever called me small in my life. I felt tiny next to that human being. It's literally just like, you got to look straight up. He's a big dude. And so, yeah, Trent is the definition left tackle. He is the prototypical left tackle. If you could have any left tackle, the history, like, build a person, it's going to be him. It's just what it's going to – I mean, he's that big. So, yeah, the fact that he has 34 and a, you know, quarter-inch arms, but the length, the wingspan, the height, the speed, the agility, all those things, God, that dude, he a bad man. He a bad man. Now – let's get to my player that there's a handful of players that I was like, man, these guys have the most to gain. I'm going through these draft, you know, profiles, and, you know, we're learning about their background and their snap counts and what they bring to the table, what their film says about them, their measurements. And there's some guys that just have questions. And can they answer those questions? Well, one of the guys is Mullins, the running back for Michigan. Well, he was a linebacker. They switched him over to running back, and, man, that dude pops off the tape. But he ain't played much. He got like 700 snaps as a running back. Like, that dude has no experience, raw as hell. What's going to happen there? Well, got injured, and now he can't participate in the Senior Bowl. And it was just such a huge opportunity miss, and I hate that for him. I hate that for him because now you don't know. Like, he had his chance to show he could play running back against studs, and he missed it because he was injured. And so it's just like, ah, man, missed opportunity. But there's another guy, small school guy, North Dakota State. I know some people will be like, I don't want anybody at North Dakota State after Trey Lance. No. Can't do that. Don't scout the uniform. Scout the player. Gray Zabel. What a cool name. Gray Zabel. North Dakota State. He was a guy that came, like, he was listed at 6'4", 278 in their program guide. It's like, man, 6'4", 270? Like, that ain't somebody that's going to play offensive line in the NFL. Well, guess what? Came in, measured officially 6'5", 316. That is a 50-pound difference. What the hell, North Dakota State? What are you doing? So you mean telling his students an inch taller and 50 pounds heavier? That's a big difference. You know, small hands, just a 9 3/8 inch. Don't like that. 32-inch arms. Not going to play left tackle. But at the Senior Bowl, he's playing interior offensive lineman only. He's playing center, and he's playing guard. Now, you look at what he did in his career. Look, 14 starts at left tackle. Athleticism's there. He can move. 17 starts right tackle. Athleticism, versatility is there. 6 starts at left guard. 2,600 plus snaps. That's a lot of work at multiple positions. Never played center. Now at the Senior Bowl, he's working center. And shout out to Brad Graham again. He don't pay me for these, but maybe he should. He does good work. He recorded every single first, one-on-one rep. Dude didn't lose a rep. Didn't lose one. Emory Hunt, who's also there at the Senior Bowl, says offensive lineman Gray Zabel has not lost a single one-on-one rep all period at multiple positions. Now, this draft class, one of the biggest weaknesses, center. If Gray Zabel could prove to teams, John Lynch is there, that this guy could play center, man, that athleticism, that's what the 49ers covet at that center position. He's played, and again, I know people are still upset at, North Dakota State. They run a pro-style scheme. He's played not one, not two, but three positions on that. Now he's working in an offensive, pro-offensive line system and playing center and guard. If he could handle all that, why not? Why could he not be a center? And for teams, like, look, again, I don't think a center comes off the board till the third round unless it's Gray Zabel. I was worried about his height and weight. Check both those off. I was worried how he'd handle himself against center. Never played it before. Only one day of practice and threw one-on-ones. And I understand. But, man, if he's handling, that's a new target watch. Could he go as high as 43? Probably shouldn't. But, man, trade back or a trade-up scenario at the end of the second, beginning third round, that is a possibility if you're going after a high upside center that has experience but not at the center position. So it is a little bit of a project and a little risk there, but if you could guarantee he could play guard, he's got, 31 starts as a tackle? This dude could play all over the place. Now, the 32-inch arms, he's going to stay inside. But, like, again, the 49ers just had to pick up two players off of the scrap heap to go out there and start tackle to finish the season. Guys like this provide value. So interior offensive lineman Gray Zabel, North Dakota State, huge. Not again, not a stock up, but if he was just a guard, not really interested. Guard center, now you have my interest. You see what I'm saying? Like, this guy has the ceiling, athleticism, play. Again, my draft write-up, athleticism, character, versatility. Teams will have him graded at all five positions depending on need and scheme. I think I have to readjust that now because 32-inch arms, you ain't playing tackle. You sure as hell ain't playing left tackle. So I think that's huge. But run grade, 85. Pass grade, 92. True pass set, 87. That's off the charts, man. That is off the charts. I had his versatility grade as a 10. I got to adjust that now because the arm length is going to back down to a 7 or an 8 just based off of, his arm length. I think it takes some of that off. I really, really do. NY Niners, appreciate you. As long as we address the trenches, I'm happy. Same, same. Icon, I like Josh Simmons. Can you talk about his injury? Josh Simmons probably has the best, I think he's the most pro-ready of all the offensive tackles. Ohio State, offensive tackle, 6'5", 311. Again, you see lots of different heights and weights out there. He hasn't done an official weigh-in yet. You just watch the tape, and we have a tape breakdown up on the 49ersrush.com right now. Go check it out. Like, you put him against Banks, Campbell, Mimbu, whoever else, doesn't matter. It's plug-and-play NFL ready. That's awesome. The problem, tore his ACL. Now, tore his ACL October 12th. That's when the injury happened. 9 months, all that kind of stuff, where that's going to go. So you've got almost all of October, November, December, January, February, March, April, May. That's 8 months. You're talking about somebody that could be ready with his ACL injury. Trent Baalke's listening right now. That dude should be ready by OTAs. We're not going to know this because the combine, his medical check, ACL ain't as scary as it used to be, guys. So do I think the Niners take him? I do not. Do I think that he goes to the first round? Yeah, he's going in the first round. The Niners, again, They do not take people with injuries at the top end of the draft ever since Javon Kinlaw. They haven't touched anybody that has even an inch of injury concerns in the first three rounds. They don't do it. The only player they have drafted with injury concerns since Javon Kinlaw is Isaac Grando, and they drafted him in the fourth round. Do you see them taking a first-round pick on somebody that couldn't play tackle right away? Now, maybe, and again, this is a maybe, Trent Williams coming back. We got Colton McKivitz under contract. You know what? If Josh Simmons can't go early, not the end of the world for us. If he can, maybe he plays right tackle. Maybe he plays left guard. It fits. The scheme fits. But, man, I don't think so. It would be a shock to me, especially whenever you have guys like Mimbo, and you've got Will Campbell, who I think could be gone, and you got Kelvin Bates, who I think could be there. I would prefer any of those three over Josh Simmons just due to the injury. Now, you throw the injury out and you say Josh Simmons continues to play at the same level that he was playing at before the injury. I have no problem if Josh Simmons is your one because of how pro-ready he is. Kelvin Banks still has the highest ceiling. I think Will Campbell's the best in the run game. You want athleticism, that's Mimbo. But if you want most pro-ready, like, guy that I'm not concerned is going to be a bust, it's Josh Simmons, even with the injury. What's up, 49ers Nation? He says, hey, everyone from the UK. I love it. 805, John, have you watched any of ETN from Georgia? He plays running back. Yeah, that dude dusted the Longhorns not once, but twice. So, I've seen him. 20 years old. This is a great running back class. It's a great, because you have top, you have mid, you have low. You can get whatever the hell you want. ETN, 5'9", 205, 20 years old, young, hasn't played a lot. So on the experience meter, this dude's a 3 out of 10 at his position, only 1,000 snaps, not a lot of playing time. Returner upside, 26 kickoff returns. I love the versatility. Even played some quarterback. Like, he is awesome. 32 receptions. Love that. 2 fumbles. Don't like that. On 122 carries. It's not awful. I think that he's a really good player. The elusiveness is huge. Not a great zone runner. He's got a worse zone grade than he does power run grade. That's a little bit there. But the burst is there. It looks like he's a zone guy. The PFF grade disagrees. Elite burst. I don't think he's going to test off the charts at the combine. 40 is not the biggest deal for running backs, but I don't think that he's an elite burst guy. 5'9", 205, I'm cool with that. Slippery in tight spaces. Shout out to my man, Brian Carter, 99. He did some work on him too. I like him. If you're going to take him the 5th or 6th round, cool. I personally don't want to spend a pick on a running back this year, even though it's a great class. Tyler. Also, any thoughts on Derek Harmon? Man, Harmon. I think Derek Harmon he's got a lot going for him. It is another one of those kind of dark horses. This might bother some people. I would not be shocked if Derek Harmon went first round. I would be shocked if he went as high as 11, but dang, man, he's good. He's really, really good. Daniel Jeremiah had Derek Harmon, player 22. I like him, 6'5", 310, size, 3 down ability, can win even after losing early, just stays playing hard. Disruptor, versatility, experience 7, versatility 8. 5 sacks this year, only 1 sack last year, right? So, like, you're talking 1 year of production. You're drafting the body. You're drafting the tape this year. Why was it not validated for 2 years in a row? That's a question. But this was a guy that, what's it called? Entered the transfer portal. He went to Michigan State, was there for a few years, then transferred, but did it in 2 conferences. I'd like him. I'd love him. If you told me we could get Derek Harmon at 43, I would be like, that's hot sauce, baby. But you tell me you get Derek Harmon at 11, I'm like, man, I think there's better defensive tackles that are there. But yeah, I really, really like Derek Harmon. But, and this is a problem with the NFL draft. You lose out on guys based on where you pick. There's certain guys you're just not going to have the option to get. Mason Graham, I'm sorry. You're not getting Mason Graham unless you trade up huge. Abdul Carter, amazing. I don't think you could get Abdul Carter with a Trey Lance type trade. Three firsts aren't going to get you in the realm of Abdul Carter. I don't believe that's the case. So, like, I love Abdul Carter. You ain't getting him. But when you're picking 11 and 43, those 20 to 30 guys, you know, you're not getting them. And I think Derek Harmon fits in that kind of category. I think Landon Jackson fits that kind of. I love Landon Jackson, man. Landon Jackson, I got to go to my tweet. I don't have it in my notes here. Landon Jackson, who is this huge height, weight, long ass arms, you know, here we go. 6'5", 273. This is official from the Senior Bowl. 10 plus inch hands, 33 5/8 inch arms, but he's just huge. He's got almost an 83 inch wingspan. LeBron James got an 84 inch wingspan. This dude's half an inch off of LeBron James. I'm overdoing it here. But like the things, so again, I'm watching Landon Jackson out of Alabama edge player, and I'm just like, nobody can get around this dude. Like, you want to talk about somebody setting the edge? This dude is go-go gadget arms, freaking Stretch Armstrong. You can't get around him. And he plays like that. I mean, he's just Gandalf. You shall not pass. Nobody gets around. And he's great against the pass. Like, he is just a stud. So, yeah, I see these measurements come in. I don't move him up my rankings, but I'm just like, yep, there's a reason why I loved his tape. Nobody gets around this dude, period. Perimeter run, you go back to that 2023 playoff run. Oh, my gosh. It gets the Packers, the Lions, and then obviously the Chiefs. We couldn't stop the perimeter run. Whenever Talanoa Hufanga went down, we couldn't stop the run game on the outside anymore. Crack tosses killed us. Dude, you got Landon Jackson on your team? That ain't an issue. This dude got more length than Leonard Floyd. That don't even make sense. And so, like, certain players, I'm like, man, dude, that dude would help us in the run game so much. Yeah, he comes out and measures 83-inch wingspan. Woo! Woo! Are the Niners going to be able to get him? I don't think so, because I don't think that dude's going to be there at 43. Jahdae Barron, he ain't going to be there at 43. I remember my first mock draft, cornerback, Jahdae Barron. I was like, man. We could draft him at 43. He's not a dire need cornerback position, whatever else. Yeah, right. Man, you look at Daniel Jeremiah's thing that he put out today. Jahdae Barron's his 14th ranked player. 14th, number one ranked corner over Will Johnson. I would take Jahdae Barron over Will Johnson too. Injuries, lack of experience, doesn't like tackling, not a help in the run game. Yeah, Will Johnson's going to be coveted by probably 25 teams over Jahdae Barron. But man, Jahdae Barron is a 49er type guy. I don't want to take a corner at pick 11. I'd prefer not to take a corner at 43. But man, you ain't getting Jahdae Barron. He's one of my favorite players on the Longhorns ever. He transferred over from Clemson. You play free safety. You play strong safety. You play slot. You play outside. Chip Thorpe Award winner. Shut down Jeremiah Smith. Ohio State. Nobody did that this year. Nobody. Jahdae Barron did it in the playoffs. You're not going to get him. So as this stuff comes out, it's just like, oh, shucks. If you want Jahdae Barron, you got to trade down from 11 or take him at 11. And I don't want to do that. You got to build in the trenches. And so certain players that I like Derek Harmon, like Landon Jackson, like Jahdae Barron, I don't think the 49ers are going to even be in the position to even address those players, even if they wanted to. Unless you trade down from 11 or jump up dramatically from 43. And I don't think that that's what they want to do. I don't think that's what you want to do. I'm behind on the chat. Joe, are you sure you weren't an English major? I just now had to look up bifurcation. No, I wasn't, but I did teach AP for a decade plus. So like we had to do a lot of vocabulary stuff. So I'm not a smart man, and I'm sure I misused that word. several times. 49ers Nation, would love to work with you, John. Yeah, reach out to us, man. In the offseason, I could do a little bit more guesswork and stuff. It's funny. I love what I do. I hope that comes across at 1,300 episodes in. But, like, talking with the family, like, it's funny. I'm like, we finished the season. I asked my wife, you know, what is it that you want changed with my job, or what do you like, what do you don't like? The travel's always an issue. She's like, I wish you would record less. And, man, I remember going live 3 times a day, every day, and I used to just say yes to every single person that wanted me on their show, which was so cool and such an honor, and it still is. And I'm very, but it's just like, man, at the end of the day, sometimes I got to say no to certain things. And yeah, I've gotten to the point now where it's like, look, in the off season, after the draft, man, I'd love to be on somebody's show, but it's hard. I say no to radio interviews. I say no to big time podcasts that I should do, just because it's like, man, I'm happy where I am. I love my audience. The income, obviously, would like it to grow some more, but my family's fine. Like, I'm very content with what I do, and I'm very thankful for what I do, but I always want to try to give back. So please email me, 40irishrushpodcast@gmail.com. We'll set something up. We'll make it work. We'll make it work, baby. That's what we'll do. Let's see here. Scrolling through the chat. Jason, can we really consider North Dakota State a small school anymore? Well said. They put out a lot of players in the NFL. And yeah, I understand a lot of us are still hurt on the Trey Lance miss, but NY Niners. Yeah, bet Zabel's athletic test would shine at the combine. Yeah, I think he will too, because that's where he kind of excels. He was an undersized guy, but man, you came in 50 pounds overweight with what they had you listed as. That's awesome. Calvin Chipto. Niners don't draft centers. Yep, you can say that. Well, Niners never drafted corner high either till last year, right? I mean, you could go on and on and on about that. I wish we would have drafted the center the last 4 years. We passed on greatness over and over and over again. Great classes, and now we're at a bad class, and we're kind of stuck. You have to. The biggest issue on the 49ers is the center position. Defensive tackle is up there as well. Those are the two paramount, completely devoid of talent positions that the 49ers have currently. Now, defensive tackle is different because you have to have an arsenal. You have to have 5 to 6 defensive tackles. You only need one center. And Jake Brindle, if he's anything, it's durable and consistent, consistently watching. But, man, you want to know why the offense, the red zone offense sucks and third down and fourth down offense sucks so bad? It starts at the center position. You want to know why Brock Purdy runs for his life all the time? It's because Jake Brindle's turning around eating popcorn watching. So, yeah, 49ers don't draft centers. Sure as hell should. D, thank you for the super chat. He says, my nephew is Matt Jones, linebacker for Baylor. Love it. Are you familiar with him? I know he met with Flanagan at the Hula Bowl, but that was pre-Sala. Probably be a late pick or undrafted free agent. But does he fit the Sala scheme? He's not one of my guys, but I love this man, and congrats to you, D. Matt Jones is not on my current drafting. We only got about 280 players. We're adding to it. Let me see here. Matt Jones. Let's look him up. There we go. Matthew Jones. I think that's the old one. Yeah, this is a problem whenever the names and all the stuff come across. Matt Jones, let's type in Baylor. Dude, how cool is that, man? And congrats to you and kind of your family's just everything that they've achieved to be able to go through this. I think that is incredible. Another Matt Jones, that's a popular name. Our lads has him up. So let's see here. Matt Jones, Baylor. I've got a little inside source at Baylor, so I'll reach out. He went to Odessa Permian. That's what's up, man. We used to play them. Duncanville used to open the season with Odessa. I think we did a 4 years in a row game series. We would play at a neutral site, play it in the Alamo Dome a lot of times. But yeah, 6'4", 246. Yeah, that is. So the 49ers have two different types of linebacker molds that they like. They like the short thumper. That's the Dre Greenlaw, D Winners, that type of role. Then they like the Mike long rangy, and that's Curtis Robinson, Fred Warner, Aziz, those guys. And so he would fit that middle linebacker role. 2 years of production that I'm seeing here, 2023, 2024. 4 sacks, 1 forced fumble, 64 solo tackles. I like that. Playing in the Big 12 is a little bit of a defensive rough value because they do a lot of 3-2, a lot of 3-3 defenses. So that's a little bit of a hard look. But the fact that he got to play in the Hula Bowl, that's huge. The fact that he's already kind of talked with somebody with the 49ers brass, that's huge. So why not? You got to hope that his measurables, if the 6'4", that's huge. The height, the length, all those things huge. But again, I have to tell you, I've not watched him. I've watched Baylor games, but I didn't know who he was. But I love it, man. And I'm cheering for you, and I'm cheering for your guy. And I'm hoping probably going to be an undrafted free agent type guy if he's at the Hula Bowl, and that's where he is. Then, hey, man, ain't nothing wrong with that. There are more undrafted free agents that get second-year deal or second contracts than there are third, fourth, fifth round picks almost combined. So I really hope that it works out for him. I really, really do it. I appreciate you asking that question. And, man, best of luck to that dude. Best of luck to that dude. Right here, Tobias. This is another one. One of my guys, as a Swede, would love Gunnar Helm to be a pick for the Niners. He was supposed to be at the Senior Bowl. He's injured. And so he's not there. Another one of those guys that's just like missed opportunity. Now, playing in the SEC, putting up the production that he did, started multiple years in a pro-style system. I think Gunnar Helm didn't have as much to lose, but he was kind of a second, third, fourth round pick. Not being at the Senior Bowl is going to hurt him. So I think actually Gunnar Helm has more of a chance to be a 49ers player now, because if he went to the Senior Bowl and balled out like he did this year, he would have been a second round pick. Now, third round's much more of a possibility. Fourth round, maybe. I think there's a good tight end class. I would love freaking hook him. I would love Gunnar Helm to land with the 49ers. Oh, that would make me so happy. That would make me so freaking happy. Let's see here. Right here, NY Niners. I think we drafted Jared Kingston to be a center. We also drafted, that was a possibility of him playing center. Also, whenever they drafted, what's his name, who's our left guard, who finished the season at left guard. He was Brock Purdy's roommate. Goodness. It's right there on the tip of my tongue. Out of Fordham. They wanted him to play center as well. So, yeah, maybe we should push back a little bit on that. They don't draft centers. They draft guys who could play center, but usually the process is if the 49ers draft you, they want you to conquer guard first and then move to center. Nick Zakel. Thank you, Ben. You're the freaking man. You're the man. So anyway, that's what it is. Yeah, I do see Jared Wilson as a center for Georgia. I think that is a possibility. I love it. I love it. Kyle, he says, ooh, I played against Permian in Midland. The Midland Permian. I think there's more high schools there now, but that used to be land of Cedric Benson, right, baby? If I did a podcast for me, it would be Texas high school football nostalgia and all that stuff. I would be totally into that. And nobody would listen to it, but that would be fun. That would be fun. And I know a lot of my coaching buddies that are still in Texas know way more than me. But anyway, fun stuff. So overall, I think it's been interesting, and there's going to be a lot of movement with the Senior Bowl and these guys, but hopefully this was a beneficial episode for everybody where, you know, we kind of learned the process and we learned the thresholds, we learned the names, and it all starts to kind of figure out. And again, I'm stealing this from Daniel Jeremiah and Bucky Brooks, but he's like, the process is, all right, you got to get a prospect in an area, right, or a neighborhood. And then you go through these processes, you watch the film, you see the measurables, you check off, you figure out all these different ways that it fits. And you go from the neighborhood to a street, and then you go to a street to a house, and you find their place. And that's what we're doing. We're just grouping these guys amongst positions and needs for the 49ers. And that's what kind of separates us, is we're doing all of this with the 49ers, you know, slant. And for every single prospect that we put on our draft book, which will be available, the version one will be going out to you guys probably second week of February. And then our final one will be going out probably around the second week of April. So you have it for 2 to 3 weeks before the draft. But every single player will have a 49ers ranking on it. 49ers fit 1 to 10. And man, you look at the guys we drafted the last 2 years, we were pretty spot on those. There were no guys that were drafted besides Aaron Banks. He was the last guy. That was 3 years ago before we were doing that on our draft book. I did not have that guy on our radar. So there's always a couple curveballs. But outside of that, the 49ers fit and all that kind of stuff, that's kind of where that goes. D's back right here. Yes, Benson played for Midland High. And Odessa Permian was with the Book Friday. Yep, that's right, man. I love that stuff. Appreciate you. What's good? You are awesome. But that's going to do it for us today. And again, make sure you join us tonight. Set it aside in the calendar. Tell the fam. We got a Jerry Rice tier Zoom hangout meeting tonight. The49ersrush.com and our Patreon channel if you haven't signed up yet. This is where we get into really whatever it is you want to get into. It's a fun time. It's where I get to hear from you and we get to bounce things off. It's always such a good time. One of my favorite times every single month. We've been doing it for a while here and we're not going to stop. But hopefully you enjoyed the show. And man, I know I sure did. And I feel like if I enjoy it, y'all enjoy it sometimes. I don't know. Y'all let me know. But until next time, as always, stay strong, faith.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are now boarding Group A. Please have your boarding passes ready to scan. If your phone is cracked, old, or was chewed up by your Chihuahua travel companion, please refrain from holding up the line. And instead, simply go to Verizon and trade in any phone in any condition from one of their top brands for the new Samsung Galaxy S25 Plus with Galaxy AI on Unlimited Ultimate and Watch or Tap, also on them.
Service plan required for Watch or Tap. Trade in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.